Bruce Piercy is here with Samaritan's Purse. We're getting an update on what is happening in the Middle East. There has been a lot of bad news here in the last 6 months, especially from Syria and Iraq. Samaritan's Purse Canada has been working in the region, though, not just recently, but for years. So, Bruce, can you tell me more about the current situation there?
Well, Beth, all these years of conflict in Iraq and Syria have resulted in, it's estimated more than 8 million people have been displaced both inside those countries and across their borders into other countries, Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, and even down into Egypt. Now, less than half of those displaced people are surviving in official government and UN camps. So the majority are actually living in ad hoc camps. Typically, you see 5, 10, or 50 families living in a park, an abandoned building, maybe a vacant lot, makeshift tents, shanties, abandoned shopping malls. We helped put up a camp for about 100 people on the grounds of a Catholic church. So we've been working across the region, and our goal is to find and help the ones who have fallen through the cracks and have not received help from others.
You know, I think about just the living conditions there, too, but what about safety and crime in that kind of situation?
That's definitely a concern. And so we have some protocols both for the safety of our staff working over there, but also for the people to protect them from being preyed upon by others and to keep them safe.
So with many people displaced from their homes, the needs must be overwhelming and they need everything. What is Samaritan's Purse able to get done?
Well, in the initial wave, most recently in Iraq, there was much of it in the news about the attacks of ISIS and a wave of people fleeing into northern Iraq, into Kurdistan, which is a relatively safe area. And initially in the summer, we distributed over 80 tons of supplies. These are things like food, water, and shelter materials for just basic survival needs. And then in October, everything shifted to trying to keep people warm for the winter. They've had a tough winter with lots of snow. We've handed out over 23,000 blankets, 27,000 jackets, 3,200 kerosene heaters, plus the propane, you know, kerosene tanks, the fuel, and 29,000 pairs of shoes. We've also been helping them to arrange access to medical care for all the illnesses that just inevitably happen living in those harsh conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thanks to our generous donors, you know, the numbers of items we have distributed is quite impressive. But the more important fact that is we've been able to deliver this aid through church volunteers and through our staff, deliver it with a smile, with a listening ear, and to offer a prayer. And, you know, that's really what is having the long-term impact here. So more needs to be done. And you can visit SamaritansPurse.ca/Beth and to join us in our prayers and to provide financial support.
Oh, I can't even imagine what it's like to live as a refugee. We've got a warm place to live. We can lock our doors. We have a bed. And here are people for months sleeping in tents, shivering through the night in the cold. What can you tell us about how people are surviving?
Well, you know, I've been over there and I've spent time with these folks. But yes, I go back to a warm hotel at night, so I can't really imagine what it's like either.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awful. But, you know, once these people have access to their basic survival materials, the issues really are more psychological and I would say as well spiritual. These are people who have escaped from imminent death. Many have witnessed family members and friends being murdered in terrible ways that you wouldn't even see in a horror movie. So they haven't, in all this survival mode, they haven't had time to deal with that trauma. Now they're living in really rough, cramped conditions. Many families living in one small house, several families in one room. Children are home all day because they have no access to school.
Mm-hmm.
Dad has no work to go to. Mom doesn't have enough food to feed them. So the stress in those conditions is really unbearable. And fortunately, our workers are able to take time to listen to them, to stop and drink a cup of coffee, and to pray for them. Samaritan's Purse has also been able to distribute Bibles, Christian literature, children's stories in thousands of volumes. We've distributed 60,000 Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes as you know, something that lifts their spirit. It offers them a message of hope going forward. And it's that loving kindness that is helping to turn the corner, help them out of their misery.
So when we take a look at their current lives now, they're just dealing with getting through the day to day, but they still are carrying all of this trauma from having to flee and being a witness to violence firsthand. Can you share some of the things that they experienced?
Well, I'll just say this. The terrorists are not just killing people. They're doing it in very brutal ways, and they seem to always do it in the presence of witnesses, of loved ones. Mm-hmm. They let those people leave in order to spread the stories and to spread their fear, because fear is the weapon of terrorists, fear is the weapon of evil, and ISIS is pure evil. And, you know, I think it's all the more evil because they seem to truly believe they're doing this to defend their God. The stories I've had have truly redefined my understanding of what violence and cruelty is, but I'm not going to become their accomplice in spreading the fear by talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to share with you what God is doing for His church and how Samaritan's Purse is trying to help them out.
Oh, sure. Please explain.
Well, I'll tell you this story. In September, I was in Erbil in Kurdistan. I attended a worship service that was also attended. Most of the people there were actually the Christians who had escaped from Mosul in Nineveh province. They were chased into Kurdistan in July and August. And, you know, they're the ones who were traumatized. They're the people who had the most reason to fear. And suddenly I realized that here they were worshiping God. They were singing with all their hearts. I've never heard anything like it. Their praise was truly joyful. I was quite amazed. Now, at the same time, then I learned that these refugees are the ones who are volunteering to deliver the aid to the other displaced families. And some of those families are Christians. Some of them are other non-Muslim groups like the Yazidi that people might have heard of in the news, but also Muslim families. So that's quite remarkable. And the third thing was that the church, of all the descriptions, is coming together with an unprecedented degree of unity. You have Catholic, you have Orthodox, you have Protestant denominations. And then I realized in talking to them that the terrorists were not trying to kill Catholics or Orthodox or trying to kill Protestants. They were just killing Christians. And that's resulted in unity. And the last thing that I observed on this that was truly remarkable, in every Muslim home that I visited, we asked if we could pray in the name of Jesus, and they always said yes.
Hmm.
So there's the Christians are discovering a new boldness in their witness to their non-Christian neighbors. So at Samaritan's Purse, we've determined to do all that we can to help the local churches to act on this boldness. Your listeners can find more about this at samaritanspurse.ca/Beth.
And you have been in Muslim homes, so you're not just reaching out to other Christians. So Samaritan's Purse works with all beliefs and faiths, as well as Christians.
Yeah, at Samaritan's Purse, it's a core value that we'll distribute the aid based on the need of the person who's receiving it, and, of course, on the whatever supplies that God has granted us through the generosity of our donors.
Mm-hmm.
But race, religion, ethnicity has nothing to do with it. And that creates a wonderful door that God is opening up in the Middle East for us. The church has been in these countries since the first century after Christ. They've endured centuries of suppression and oppression since the first Islamic jihadists invaded there over 1,000 years ago. And now, as a result of these attacks by modern-day Islamic jihadists, the church is able to display God's amazing grace by loving its enemies. So, for example, when food or medicine or clothing is being delivered to a desperate Muslim family by a Christian, they're utterly shocked. One person said, "Well, we've always treated Christians very badly, but you are showing us love. Why?" And another person said, "We were taught our whole lives in the mosque that we were supposed to hate Christians, that you're bad people, but here you are loving us. I don't understand this." And that is really a tremendous opportunity that people are now becoming open to talk to us and to hear the gospel.
So we are talking about how aid is available to people that have been fleeing from ISIS, but you also work with local churches there too. We're starting to hear more now in North America about the church in the Middle East and in Iraq, especially since the ISIS attacks last summer. How is Samaritan's Purse helping churches in the region?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me if I think that the church in the Middle East is going to survive. And I just say, of course it's going to survive. God is in control. Our God reigns. His church isn't just going to survive. It will prevail. The real question people should be asking is whether Islam will survive. ISIS and all the other jihadist radicals are literally destroying Islam. And this has become a civil war within Islam. They attack Christians in their own countries. The attacks in Paris, the attacks on our parliament here in Canada, this is really a competition between these different groups to win the hearts of the other angry Muslims. They are all trying to claim leadership of this global jihad. But, you know, ultimately, most of the victims are other Muslims. Most of the refugees are Muslims. And I meet with these people, and they are questioning the truth of Islam. Or they've already decided to reject it. One man said, if this violence is Islam, I'm not a Muslim. So the love they're receiving for people in the name of Christ is winning them over. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to become a Christian, Beth, but many are, and others will. And the rest, we hope, will come to the knowledge that we are not their enemy, and we will build bridges to those communities. At Smyrna's Purse, we're doing all we can to help build those bridges by supporting the local church in northern Iraq, inside Syria, helping them to love their neighbors. Your listeners can find more about this at SamaritansPurse.ca/Beth.
Now, this all sounds very exciting, and I appreciate the fact that you are being optimistic, but what about those of us who are a bit skeptical?
Well, okay, I will say this, Beth. I am not being naive here. I know that the Islamic terrorist attacks in the Middle East and probably here at home are likely to continue for years, maybe even decades. It's probably going to get a lot worse before it starts getting better. These hardcore radicals are going to get more hardcore. Their tactics are just going to get worse. But let me tell you this, the average Muslim family, you know, the father trying to keep a job, trying to feed his family, they will pretty much want the same things for their families as we do. You know, I asked one Muslim man if I could pray in the name of Jesus, and he said to me, of course, yours is a religion of peace and love, and that is what we need. Mm. So, you know, I've heard reports of Muslim clerics talking about this, and one actually said that for every person that ISIS has beheaded, 100,000 youth have left the Muslim faith. The door is opening for the gospel in the Middle East, for sure. I'm certain of that. How wide and for how long, I don't know. But I believe God is calling Muslims to himself, and he's using ISIS to chase them in his direction. So whether or not the church chooses to be part of this is really up to us. But I think this is arguably the most critical question for the church in our lifetime. Samaritan's Purse is going to go through that door, and we welcome Canadians to come with us through their prayers and financial support.
So definitely you are very busy. The Samaritan's Purse workers are very busy. What can we do to partner with you and to help?
Well, and the first and the greatest work is to pray. And to pray, first of all, for God's church, that it would continue to love each other in unity, that they would continue to love their neighbors, and yes, that they would continue to love their enemies. Pray for the Muslim refugees. Pray that they will experience and comprehend the love of Christ and that the work that we're doing would help them to do that. And of course, we can't do anything without the financial resources we receive from the generosity of donors.
And how can we be a part of donating?
Well, people can phone, and I'll give you the number, 1-800-663-6500, or they can go to SamaritansPurse.ca/Beth. We accept all major credit cards for online or phone donations. The other thing that would be really helpful is if people want to become monthly financial partners, they can do that through the website or by calling us. And that's important because having a predictable stream of funding lets us make longer-term commitments to help the people in the Middle East, to help the church, and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing there, Bruce, and for giving us a report, because your feet have been on the ground there. You've seen things firsthand, and I really do appreciate the work you and everyone at Samaritan's Purse is doing.
Well, thank you. You're most welcome, and thank you for letting me have time to share.